Well, I never saw the enthusiasm from any of our adults like the children have. If I could get some of you adults to have the smile of Raymond and the... Did she get that from you, Dad? She gets excited about that and starts dancing. And we talked about dancing in the Bible, didn't we? David danced, right? She was dancing. We're in Genesis 15 this week. We have a lot of people who are signed up for the course. Some of you already got started. There's a few of you who haven't gotten your books yet that are signed up here. Let me just say something to you. More people are signing up and getting their books, so by the time you get your book, it may not be there. Just letting you know, because they're moving pretty quick. I think we're, I don't know how many we even got left. Let's look. This is a motivational thing here. Let's see, how many? Well, we still got a few. 3, 6, 7, 8. We still got 8 books left here. So if you've signed up and want to get in on it, you got to jump on it, because they're moving pretty quick. By the way, I'm excited that there's that many people who are signed up for the course. And you get to work it at your own schedule, but the longer you drag out, the harder it will become. So be diligent. Set up a day or a time each day. Most of you are retired, right? Most. Not all. Most. And where's the doohickey? I've always wondered what a doohickey was, and there you got it, folks, right there. All right, let's see where we're at on our Family Bible Hour here. We're in a reference here of the Bible, Revelation. And we have up here is Revelation is when God gives truth that we did not know before. I want that to sink in. God loves, by the way, God is truth, amen? Jesus says, I'm the truth. And sometimes he will reveal, or revelation here, reveal things that we wouldn't even know about if it wasn't for him to uncover them for us. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, look what it says, belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. The only reason why God will reveal something here and reveal something here for us is so that we will see what his word tells us to do, and then we do it. A lot of times God will withhold revelation until we do what he's already revealed to us. And so that's why we need to make sure that we are taking those steps, each step. Thy step is a word, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Each step of the way, he'll reveal new truths to us. And if we'll step in that light and do that light, he'll reveal more to us. The books of the Bible. Let's go through them real quick. All right? Keep up with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right, I'll start again. Start. Genesis, Exodus. Let's go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians. All right, stop. It sounds like mumbling right now here. All right, you ready? We're going to pick up here. What was the last one you guys said? Huh? Titus. You ready? Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So I don't know if I'll have this on here next week, but next week we'll just say, starting in order, you'll go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And we'll go that way around. How's that? That sound better? And we'll leave that up on the wall. On the screen, all right? You can't read it from here? How many of you can read it from here? How many of you already have it here? All right. Well, then next week should be fun. All right. Let's see what we got. The 10 plagues. This is what we've come through. Understand, this is Israel's past. We all have a past. Amen. And hopefully in that past is that last plague that there was blood applied to your heart. Amen. Now we're moving on as believers here in this area here. And we come that God preserves Israel. And day one, we're going to talk about the Lord provides drinkable water. So let's go ahead and look at this here if we could. We'll start out here. Genesis 15. Exodus 15. So we'll make sure you're sitting over there next Sunday, all right? That way you can say Genesis. Okay, everybody hold on here. Family council here.
I'm dumb. He's fine.
This is not the newlywed game, all right? All right, here we go. Exodus 15, beginning with verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 and 10 palm trees, or 70, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, notice here, if you would, at the end of verse 26, he says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." This is going to be eventually one of the names that Bob will bring up on the names of the Lord. It'll be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Very strong name to use. If there's ever a time of sickness in your family, don't be afraid to call upon the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, and see what he does for you. So here we are on day one. We have the Lord provides drinkable water. And let's look at a couple of questions here. Well, let's open it up for thoughts here, and then we'll look at the questions. Who has a thought here on day number one? This drinkable water. Who wants to get us started? Speak up. Okay, let's go to day two. Oh, Tim. Yeah, they murmured. Have you ever murmured against the Lord? Yeah, you murmur against your wife. Have you ever murmured against the Lord, anybody here on this side?
Yeah,
we kind of murmur and are dissatisfied with where we're at in the situation or with what we have. What else do we see? Rose, is that a hand up or is that putting glasses down? Because if you were at an auction, you just bought something, all right? Glenn. Very important what he just said. This is where God wants them to be. Matter of fact, it says in the text here that he did this that they might be proved. Do you realize that God is always proving us as to what we think about who he is, what he can do? Not so much what he can do for us, but who he is ultimately. Who else has a good thought? He's proving them. He's testing them. He has them where they want them. By the way, would that hold over and carry over today still? Does God still have you where he wants you to be? Are you going through a time where he's going to prove you or test you about a situation? Are you struggling with anything on the inside that he's testing you on right now or allowing you to be tested in? What else do we see here? Bob. He's always there, in spite of our being proved, in spite of where we're at, in spite of our situation, he is always there. Does anybody have a verse that confirms that for us in the New Testament? I will never what? Gabriel. Yeah, it's almost as if they want to prove him instead of him. He's the one that's supposed to be doing the proving. It's like there is a lack of faith. Now, understand in Scripture, there is levels of faith. You understand that? They had no faith. Great is thy faith. He says, I've never seen so great a faith in all Israel. And that was to a Gentile. And then the Bible says, increase our faith, you know. Or ye of little faith. There's various stages of faith. So through these stages here, God is trying to develop and grow their faith. It's definitely lacking, would you all say? Yeah, amen to that. It's definitely lacking. Glenn. Correct. Correct. Yeah, this tree is taking away this bitterness is a picture of the cross, taking away the bitterness of the curse and everything that's upon us, and sweeten it, making sweeter as the day goes by, amen? Notice what it says also here in verse 24, that he's asking them to diligently hearken and that they would do and that they would give ear to whatever he says. Folks, those are three important areas that God wants Israel to pay attention to. Not just be hearing, but doing as well. And we can come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, be under teaching of Scripture, hear incredible stories, and not allow it to grow us or develop our faith as well. The Bible says that some of the people were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's why the group in Hebrews, where the writer told them that they were been saved long enough, they should already be instructing and teaching others, but we got to go back to the infant baby food Gerber stuff for you guys. Why would he have to do that? Because they're only hearers and not doers. And the more you hear and do, the stronger your faith will increase. And then, by the way, God will take you to another level of faith. And then you'll go through proving and testing there to take you to another level of faith. And that's, by the way, as long as we live until our faith becomes what, everybody? Sight. And then there's no longer need for that. Look at the questions we have here. What does Mara mean? Bitter. Yeah, it means bitter. Remember, who was it that said, Naomi said, call me Mara. Why? Because she was bitter. Why was she bitter? Yeah, she left with a husband and her boys and came back with nothing, you know. So she said, Ruth. Yeah, she wasn't seeing the whole picture. Good point for all of us. We can go through times that can make us bitter. You know, they say it'll either make you bitter or better. Sometimes we get bitter, folks, and because we're not seeing the whole picture of what God's doing. We're seeing the moments, and those moments can seem like a long time because those moments to us are years. But remember, 1,000 years with God is as a day. So his perspective is much greater than ours, and he's doing it for our good. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So a great picture there. What's another question here? It says, what did the Israelites do? flat out, they what? They grumbled. Grumblers. They grumbled. And how did God help them? They needed water. He what? He healed their water. That water needed healing. It had to be a divine work. Who's leading Israel? God is. Who led them to the bitter waters? Did the bitter waters catch God off? No. Does God know what he's doing? Did God say, when he led them to the bitter waters, say, "Ah, this is bitter"? Did God say, "Oops"? No. No. He's proving them. Now watch again. This is Old Testament, but like Glenn was talking about, that tree that was thrown in there to make it sweet. He's always trying to get their focus on Christ, even back then. Remember, we're going to get into the tabernacle here in a few weeks. And I put this program only gives you a couple pictures for each lesson. I added a bunch of pictures on the tabernacle because if you remember the tabernacle, when you went up onto the mountain and you looked down on the tabernacle down below, you had all the tribes that were on all sides of the tabernacle. And the top tribe was the smallest of the group. The largest group was at the bottom. And then the two other sides were almost equal. And if you looked down on them because of the way they laid themselves out, it formed the cross. And the tabernacle was right in the middle, which is God's presence. And so God is always in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus, was coming to Christ. And so you could get up on the mountain, look down on the tabernacle with all the Israelites, and it formed the cross. So it's very important that God is always trying to point you and me to the cross, to Christ. He wants us to see Christ in every step of our journey. Okay? Very important. Look at the next question here. What did God want the Israelites to learn from this? To trust and obey. That's a great song, is it not? Trust and obey, for there's what? No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Day two. Anybody have any thoughts before we go on? Day two, we see the Lord provided manna, and it talked about quail here as well. There's a lot of scripture here. This one has a lot of scripture, so we won't take the time to read it. But let's open it up because this is where God's providing food for Israel. First water, now food. What do we see here that you might remember from reading through here that was a blessing to you? By the way, don't be afraid to mark up your binders. Mine's all marked up on the side over here of things that I saw. Anybody have a thought here? What's he providing? Bread. He's providing manna. How often does he provide it? Daily. 6 days daily. And seventh, he gives them twice the amount, right? Okay, good, good. Now, what does Jesus teach in the New Testament about bread? He's the bread of life, but what's he talk about, teach about in the practical daily sense? Give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to have daily sustenance. I will give you daily sustenance. What's he doing to them? Is he giving them a Walmart where they can go put things in the freezer, bag it up? No. They have to trust him every single day. Every single day. What else do we see here? Real loud, Carl. Quail. Quail. Anybody ever eat quail here? Is quail considered fine dining? It can be, yeah. It can be a finer food. I've never had quail. I've had dove. Dove's really nice. Why did he give them quail? They what? You mean more grumbling? I am so glad that we're not like them. Amen. You talk about a negative crowd of people, right? I mean, they never saw good in a whole lot of anything, did they? Do you understand what's going on here? The Bible in the New Testament calls the Jews something. He says they were stiff-necked people. What does it mean to be stiff-necked? Stubborn. They're a very stubborn people. Why would he choose them? Think about it. Just think. Why would you trust? Why would you deliver them and want to lead a stubborn people? God, you think God got caught off that they weren't stubborn? He knew they were. That's why he chose them. God always takes the hardest people, because if I can get these people to do what's right, everybody else will be a piece of cake ultimately. They're not. He didn't say the Gentiles were stubborn, stiff-necked people. He said the Jews were, and I love the Jews, amen? And so God took the hardest, most rebellious people and says, I'll do something with them. Now, I have to say, there was a time when God was ready to annihilate all of them. Huh? And Moses stepped in and interceded. That's the only thing that saved them, was Moses interceding. Notice one thing here. I want you to see something. Here's what I caught on day two for me, and then we'll let you decide. Look at verse, we're in Exodus 16 now. Look at verse number 19 there, if you would, and 20. Now Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Keep that in mind. Verse 19 and 20, okay? Now go down to verse 26. 6 days ye shall gather it, but the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it shall come to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, and let no man go out. Let no man go out, it says, of his place on the seventh day. When I was looking at those two passages, you got two settings, and I come to the idea in verses 19 and 20, they were taking too much food, and then it was getting left over, and it was stinking and rotting and breeding worms. So they're taking too more than what the Lord said. Then you come down, they are not taking enough. They're going out to find it on the Sabbath because they didn't listen to what God said. And so they're either doing too more than what they're supposed to, or not enough of what they're supposed to, instead of just doing what they were supposed to do. And so we see that this sin is from one extreme to the other with Israel and Kevin and Debbie, since she left, and Vonda and all of us. We can go one day to this extreme, and we can go one day to this extreme. Instead of just, Proverbs says, don't go to the left or to the right, but look straight on. So we see that's a thing that is so easy that can happen. Who else has a thought here? It's what? Correct. Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, again, we are not a whole lot different still today. And we, yeah, the pendulum, it goes back and forth. That's why you can actually see one generation that will go to this extreme over here. Their kids will go the other, completely the other way in these areas here. And it could be good this way for the parents and bad this way, or bad for the parents and good for the kids, you know. It can go either way. Who else? Fonda. That could be very well true, but I think all the decisions here, whether that's accurate even of those people, I think they're all heart decisions. It's all a heart decision. We're going to see on day three that it was the heart, ultimately, of what was taking place on these. And so whenever we can We are so easy, and forgive me for saying this, I think that we are so easy to excuse ourselves, and yet we can immediately ping somebody else out that's doing the same thing and be hard on them. Remember David, when David was caught, how hard he was, and it was, "You're the man," Nathan said. Remember how Paul wrote, "Do you say thou shalt not steal? Does thou steal? Does thou say thou shalt not commit adultery? Does thou commit adultery?" So Paul was noticing that God's people are really good at pointing the finger at everybody else of the things that they're guilty of themselves in some level.
You wasn't ready to bring John Mark back in.
Correct. Correct. So
he may have repented over the water. I don't know what he did.
Well, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. So, question. Why did the people grumble this time? They weren't thirsty, but what? They were hungry. Now, that doesn't count if your stomach's grumbling, is it? Huh? And then number two, it says, what was wrong with their grumbling? Very important answer they give you there. What was wrong with their grumbling? They were not thankful for what God had given them. They were unthankful for his provision. You know what one of the marks of the last days is? Unthankful. Unthankful. One of the marks of the last days. Men shall be unthankful, unholy, all those things. How did God provide food? Manna in particular. How did he provide it? Somebody different. Nice and loud. Or somebody who hasn't done it in a little while. Or anybody. Huh, Bob? Provided manna early in the morning when the mist would come up onto the ground, the dew would be on the ground. It would be fresh. It'd be like those little white powdered donuts, right? No, actually, I actually did a teaching on this one time, and we were at Fair Park doing a family Bible hour, and we were teaching on the manna, and I had a picture of people picking it up, but I actually had a thing that came up like I was magnifying it. Lo and behold, it was Twinkies. It was Twinkies. How many of you all like Twinkies? Come on, be honest.
You have to suck that stuff out of it.
You got that cream in there and stuff. It's moist, right? And sweet. Can you imagine eating so many Twinkies that you would murmur and complain about it after a while? Imagine Twinkies. Listen, imagine Twinkies coming out of your nose. You know what that means, does it?
No chocolate.
Huh?
No chocolate.
That might have been what they're... Where's the ho-hos? There should be chocolate here, right? And God already was dealing with ding-dongs, all right? Yeah, they just were not thankful.
They weren't thankful for the water.
I know.
Nothing. I just never stated where they were thankful.
I just hope that when we get to heaven, we're not all these saints are gathered together for a teaching time around the Word of God. And he goes, this time we're going to be focusing on the 21st century Christians. And God will bring up our stories. Because I think he has it all on record, by the way, huh? Now, this is when the 21st century Christians were laughing at you guys over here. But let me show you what they did. And we even gave your example for them to make sure they don't make the mistake on. Let me show you what they did. I think it would not be a surprise to me. I think it would be like, oh, man. I know. Some of you already were. I could tell you didn't want Twinkies. I could look out there and say, who likes Twinkies? Some of you are like, You were already dissatisfied and unthankful before God would have provided it, all right? All right, where are we at here? Day three. Let's see what we got on day three. The Lord provided water out of a rock. Here's another water situation. Look at chapter 17. Let's look at verse number 1. Are you ready? And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. I always thought that was a perfect name for it. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, very important. and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. The Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou mayest, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come forth water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So we'll stop right there on that one on day three, because here we have the Lord provides water out of a rock. What do we see here in this? Folks, it seems like it's just one thing after another, doesn't it?
I see Satan working, number one.
Okay.
And he wants to disrupt God's will. He always goes to leadership.
Okay.
And he can do that and set a bad example for everyone
else. Isn't it interesting that the Lord is establishing when you go, you make sure you take the elders of Israel, you take the ones that are representing each tribe, and you make them go and witness this, because you have to be able to control your group of people here. They were responsible for their people. What else do we see here? Which, by the way, usually when there's a problem, they do go after it. It's never, we can't ever blame God. We always have to blame the leadership. And if the leadership is walking with God, then you are attacking God in the process, okay? What else do we see here? I know. So they kind of keep forgetting that they can pray to God? Does that still happen today among believers? It's so much easier to chide. Huh? It's much easier to murmur than to pray. What else do we see? Something about God's going to take care of them? They haven't learned their lesson. When you and I, as Israel, when we don't learn a lesson, God's always trying to teach us and instruct us, correct? When we don't learn a lesson, what do we have to do? Take and go through another time of instruction to learn the lesson. The more we resist a lesson, the more we're going to have to go through that lesson until we embrace what's needed. I want you to notice, though, that in these lessons, each step of the way, God is showing his mercy. God is still present with them. He hasn't quit loving them. But I want you to notice that they are continually degrading down. Now they're questioning whether God is even with them. As a matter of fact, look at verse number 7. Is the Lord among us or not? Whoa. Now, if you were a godly Israelite and somebody stands up and says, is the Lord with us or not? You would be wise to do one of these and get away from that person. I'm telling you the truth. Folks, when you start challenging, you're not just disobeying, you're not just non-trusting, but now you're challenging. That is a huge drop-off for Israel. Now, I think it's safe to say that when we read this, a lot of times we take in the picture of this, it's all Israel. I think it's just the majority. I think you had your Joshuas there. I think you had your Calebs there. I think you had a lot of good families that were in that were with Moses as far as standing with him, supporting him, whatever it may be. But I think it shows a picture of the, what do we call that? The majority. They're ready to make a majority vote and even turn around and go back at times. So I think that we see areas. Matter of fact, this is going to keep going on for a while, by the way, folks, because there's going to be a come a time when you're going to have some men come in thinking, well, I think we need to take the control here. We need to lead this thing. You're going to have some guys that rise up to lead. Men, the Bible says, of renown. They got backers. They've been talking. They're coming in. They're going to yank Moses out, and Moses falls straight on his face. And they in... Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're just as holy as you. And he says, okay, Lord, you do what you need to do here. Very important here. Look at day 3 here on our questions here. Why did the people complain at Rephidim? No water. Is water important? Yes. How many of you are thirsty right now? How did they test God? Yes. They were trying to get him to prove to them. Interesting. How did God show them that he was still with them? How did he show that he was still with them? Yeah, yeah. He went, and by the way, this is going to come back into the picture later again where God says, smite the rock. He smites that rock. It splits open and water pours out. Pours out. It had to water millions of people plus their herds and their cattle for who knows how long. It had to be tons of water. Folks, understand, it's so easy to pass by that, but look at how great God's provision is. It was enough to take care of everybody. Matter of fact, if you remember, if you go back on the quail and the manna, Moses even doubted whether God could provide for that many people. Moses had even forgot that God was the one who spoke all things into existence, and he could make quail at his word, you know, and there's just so much that hasn't changed. You jump into the New Testament, the disciples were fretting and worried. And he said, then after he does a great miracle and proves that he's with them, they say, even the wind and the sea obey him. They had forgotten that. And how many times do we forget?
Endorsing that, brother, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, the Bible talks about him healing the maimed people that are missing limbs.
Missing limbs.
That's an act of creation.
Yeah. You know? That thing just was there. He took Malchus's ear that had been chopped off first and put it back up there, and it was like nothing ever happened, you know? Wouldn't it have been funny if he would have put the ear back on and it was one of those that stuck out like this all the time? You know? Just as a reminder, you know? Folks, we serve a powerful, mighty God. John saw him and he fell as a dead man. We're not going to be any different. What does this show us about God? Very simple question. Bob? Trust. Trust, we go back to that great song, Trust and Obey. Folks, I think I can speak for all of us if I can. I think it's easier said than done, is it not? When we get put in those situations, it's easy to go back. Day 4, we jump over into the Gospel of Matthew, where we are not to test the Lord. Do not test the Lord. And I just want to look at the questions here. Israel has was tested in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus was tested in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But look at the question, how did Jesus represent Israel? There's your first question of three on day four. How did Jesus represent Israel? Okay, Israel was called God's firstborn. Jesus is the Son of God. He represents him. We have 40 years of wandering, testing, right? Over here we have 40 days and 40 nights of testing. Over here we have failure after failure after failure after failure after failure with some of the greatest Bible leaders of all time leading them. Over here we have one man representing all mankind. And thank God there was no failure, amen? Thank God he was who he said he was. Huh? Yes, both of them were hunger, yep, yep. They were... Nope. Correct. Even the disciples at the woman as well brought back lunch. Aren't you going to eat? He goes, nah. My food is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. The three tests we saw were physical need, testing of God, and then false worship. All three Israel were tested in and failed, even at the golden calf, right? And Jesus stood it all. Folks, understand, Satan only wanted Jesus to become one thing, and that was to become a Satan worshiper. Had he bowed down to Satan, he would have become a Satan worshiper. And that's all he wants. He was that covering cherub who saw all the glory and all the worship. And in pride, he goes, I want that. I want that position. I will be like the Most High God. And that was his downfall. And he was kicked out of glory. By the way, did Jesus pass his test? Amen. Day five. Jesus is the bread of heaven. Let's look at John chapter 6 and we'll be closed here. John 6. We'll go ahead and read that one. In John 6, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I should back up and rephrase that so that you guys don't misunderstand what God's saying here. He will give his life for the elect of the world. He forgot to put the word elect in there. Okay? If you're a Calvinist, that's only talking about the elect. No, it says for the world. And that means everybody that's in it. Amen? Not just the elect. So, anyway, look what it says. Question. What did the people want in Jesus' time? They hadn't changed much. They just wanted their physical needs met, right? Just give me physical needs, bread. What did the people need? Bob? Spiritual bread. As the manna came down from heaven in the Old Testament, so he says, I am come down from heaven as well. And this is what you need, spiritual bread. How was the manna in the wilderness different from the bread of heaven that Jesus was talking about? What was the difference? One was temporal. One would last forever. And he was known as the bread of life. He was known as the living water. He offered himself as bread to the Jews here. He offered himself as living water to the woman at the well. He was always taking things in.
You put a hard test on him here in verse 54.
Well, read it.
Eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Correct.
They thought he was talking about cannibalism.
Cannibalism. Nope. Yep. Well, the Catholic Church still believes that, though.
Yeah.
They use that, so misuse, but they use it. Next week, we get into the next lesson on God prepares Israel for the covenant. We're going to be getting into the Ten Commandments, and we'll be working on that. So study out this week. We'll be in Exodus chapter 19, 1 through 25 will be the majority of it. And so let me encourage you to be in prayer on that. If you signed up but need to get your books, holler at me. If you haven't paid, get that covered there. It's going to be well worth your investment of time, but ultimately getting the Word of God in you. Those little verses will be life-giving, life-giving. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness to us. We ask, Father, as we close out this first day of the week, may it be just blessed, dear Father, the remainder of the week as we have given our first day to you. May you help us, dear Father, to see your blessings upon the week ahead of us and keep everyone safe. Be with Bud, Lord. He had to go home early today. He wasn't feeling good. Just pray that you lift him up. Be with Paul and Nancy as they're out of town. Give them safety when they return. And just watch over us, dear Father, with our daily activities. And help us, dear Father, to seek to share the good news with individuals that come by our way, our path. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God.